Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Today's guest is Ludwig Jean-Louis, the owner of Craven's Ice Cream in Pittsfield, where he recently purchased just a few months ago. Having lived in the Berkshires since 2005, Ludwig is an integral member of the community and helps to satisfy any resident with a sweet tooth. Thank you so much for joining us, Ludwig. Please share more about who you are and your journey to purchasing Craven's.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. Who I am. I am just, you know, the oldest sibling of five. I've always had a sense of responsibility towards my family. And like most of my goals and aspirations have always been geared towards the benefit of everybody within the household. So opening up Craven's was a solution to get everybody's, like, you know, get all hands on deck so we could take responsibility for our new inherited house and all that. Taking that leap into adulthood and, being self-sustaining, dulling any dreams that anybody had. So that was the vision behind this move right here.
Definitely.
Sorry, is there a little more to say, but yeah.
Yeah, of course. And I know that just from reading your story, you'd worked at like a series of other ice cream shops, I think, and like a pizza store that kind of like gave you that experience with this industry and being able to start your own. So I'd love to hear more about that and how you use that experience that you've been able to build up to be able to now own your own store.
Yeah. So back in 2013, I graduated high school and I needed a quick job. Found the Scoop in Lenox. They were hiring. And it was funny because at the time I was working at the Beacon as an usher, and I picked up the Scoop job as, just to get two jobs going. I was working all summer and was overworking myself. And my mom was like, you need to quit one of the jobs. And before I could make that decision, the decision was made for me. And so then I started working at the Scoop a lot more, fell in love with it. And the more I started working, the more responsibilities they gave me. Became store manager for a couple of years. Then in 2016, I started delivering pizzas because winter started delivering pizzas, and the pizza job gave me a little more of like an adult payment, I was actually able to like make serious money throughout the week. Mm-hmm. So I reduced my hours at the ice cream store, but because it was so fun, I would, cover a few shifts here and there. So in 2019, I opened up a little satellite stand at the own pizza shop. So six years at the ice cream store, I was making the setting up, so we did, and then for ice cream. So I figured, why not? Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And tested it out. It wasn't like a financial success. However, the feedback that I got just by being in that space and the support that people showed to just come out of their way to even come and get ice cream at the pizza shop and not even get pizza. They just came in for the ice cream. So that was pretty good to know. And So then I was like getting geared towards a more serious venture to do satellite pop-up shops with the ice cream, but then COVID hit. So then we kind of fell back. And during COVID, I decided to go back to school. I was Ubering for a little bit. No, not during COVID, just before COVID. I was doing that, and then COVID hit. So then I just stopped doing everything, and then started working at the paper mill. And so then while working at the paper mill, my mom passed, and I thought the paper mill was going to be what helped supplement everything and helped me take care of my siblings. But it was one of those, I was like, it's a swing shift job. It's kind of like one of those, like, if you have no responsibilities outside of work, it's one of those jobs where you can really focus and make some serious money, come back, and then figure out what you want to do with yourself later down the road. But with my schedule being basically wrapped around my sibling's schedule now, it wasn't working. And I ended up leaving in September of 21 and started apprenticing carpentry. Nice. Yeah, so that was cool. I was washing dishes 4 nights a week. And then in January, I went and worked at an auto body shop because just before COVID hit, I was going to school for my auto damage appraiser's license. Mm-hmm. And then COVID hit, and then I couldn't finish the course. But then I was able to finish the course. So then I started working at an auto body shop early January of this year. And while I was working there, in the morning. And then I'd go wash dishes 4 nights a week. And then I was just driving down Elm Street and I saw this place was open for sale. And I don't know, I just parked in front of my job one morning and called the number, and it was all gravy from there. Yeah.
Amazing. And I did read in the Berkshire Eagle that you had tried to purchase an ice cream shop before, I think, and it didn't end up working out. So what was that like with being able to bounce back and still be able to focus on your dream of being able to purchase one in the future, which now, of course, you have?
I've always had the dream of owning multiple businesses. Because it's like one of those, like, you create systems, you're an integral part of that system, but you're not needed for it to function. And the real draw to this was that at one point I hurt my back and I was out of work for maybe like 5-6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And when you're, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, that's critical. Like a week is major, you know. Thankfully I had savings, but it's like to even make those savings back, it's almost impossible because, you know, you're throwing out as much as you're throwing, money's just going out before you come in. So, you know, like, so to be able to create the system and have a cash flow that's not dependent on my physical time being given is a major boost in just projecting ourselves in the future, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what was your decision with wanting to purchase another business rather than starting a new one, just brand new, fresh out of the womb? Ultimately, was there like certain benefits or advantages that you noticed of having an existing business that you're taking over compared to starting fresh?
That's a great question. The best part about buying a business that's already up and running is it has a client base. You don't have to build, you don't have to generate that. Marketing is one of those like hit or miss investments. So knowing that if I started, like, Pittsfield is pretty small. So like, I'm sure the word would have got out and I would have been getting a lot of foot traffic regardless, but Knowing that this is a place that has been here for like 30 plus years, and then unfortunately COVID closed it for 2 years. So everybody in that neighborhood has been waiting for this place to open. So it was kind of one of those, what is it? They say like, if you can solve people's problems, you'll be able to make a lot of money. So with that type of mindset, I was like, it's a sure shot, you know?
Definitely. And I'm so curious because we haven't had a guest who's purchased a business before. We've had guests who have started their own businesses. So I think it's really interesting that it's a different process with that. So have you, once you took it over, were there anything that you changed, or did you kind of just keep things exactly as the previous owners had been running it?
For the most part, it's just, I came in, cleaned up, turned the lights on. I did add the hard serve ice cream option, but that was just really like just finding a freezer and figuring out where it fits in the room. So no, not really. I still did write a business plan because funding and all that fun stuff, so
right,
eventually like we're gonna have to talk to some people with real money. But I've been a part of the E4All program. So my LLC is a Berkshire's Ultimate Dessert Delivery Service. The goal was to have a service that offers late night treats. You know, it's Thursday night. It's cold outside. I don't want to go outside. Maybe I'll get a sundae delivered to my door, or some hot chocolate, or, you know, some cookies and stuff like that. So, so to have that thought and then find somewhere that's already producing money so that you don't have to, you know, because we still have bills to pay. And then I stopped working to start doing this. So if this wasn't producing and I had stopped my job, it kind of would, you know, it puts you back a little bit. And with where I'm at, I don't have that option. So,
right.
So it was a good move to definitely find somewhere that was previously up and running.
Absolutely. And I can imagine, because at the time that we're recording this episode, we're going through a crazy heat wave in Massachusetts where it's been like 95 degrees all week. I can imagine that Cravens has been busy with all of this heat and getting ice cream.
Yes, we've been, this weekend was National Ice Cream Day on Sunday.
Oh yeah. And,
So every week has been a new high. We haven't like stalled out quite yet, thankfully. And unfortunately, I hadn't like prepared, because Saturday we got cleaned out, and Sunday, just like 2 hours before close, we ran out of ice cream.
Wow. I'm like,
yeah, like I was like, this is insane. Like I was not ready for that. Yeah.
A good problem to have, nonetheless.
No, definitely a good problem to have. And we had plenty of other things to supplement it, but we, you know, just ran out of the vanilla and chocolate salsa. But
yeah. That's amazing. And so I know you mentioned wanting to own multiple businesses. Do you have in mind currently future businesses that you would like to add on, or even being able to expand Cravens services? Like, I know you mentioned the late night delivery, but is there any other plans that you see for yourself in the future of what you'd like to tap into?
So the auto appraiser damage license is going to give me the opportunity to appraise vehicles in our area in the Berkshires. Working at the auto body shop, I realized a lot of the appraisers were coming from Springfield. So if I were to get my license out here, it'd kind of give me an advantage of just being in the proximity and being able to pick up those appraisals faster. Before my mother passed, she and I were, I was trying to talk with my family about putting our resources together, like talking to my aunts and uncles, grandparents, putting our resources together and trying to create a family trust so that we can leverage the equity that everyone has in their houses and purchase more real estate properties. So I purchased my first real estate property last September. It's a 3-unit. And the goal is to be able to eventually purchase like a maybe a 20 to 50 unit property and have that as our family's like hub of income. Because, you know, the elders in the family, they're only getting older. And then when it's time to take care of their hospice situations and all that, where is that going to come from?
Right.
And so, so it was just like more financial planning for the family is what I'm probably like looking towards, and having businesses open and like trying to figure out businesses that are, you know, profitable will only help us in the long run. So it's not, I don't have anything specific, but the vision of cash flow and not necessarily passive income, because somebody has to look over it and watch it and work with other people to make sure that it's working for us. So, right. Yeah.
Awesome. And since you've mentioned the Berkshires a few times, I wanted to dive in further to that. You are our first guest from the Berkshires itself, which I was excited about because a lot of our listeners have been where I'm from on the South Coast and South Shore. And so it's really interesting to see just how different the two areas are within the state. So since you've been there for almost 20 years now, they do kind of have like their own little business community from what I've seen. So what do you enjoy most about that, of just being in the Berkshire specifically and being able to start your businesses in that area?
One thing I'd say I'd like the most is that it's got that, you know, when you watch like old school football movies and the town would shut down just to go watch everybody play and everything like that. It's got that type of vibe out here, but then it's big enough. It's small enough that you feel like you know everybody, but it's big enough that you're meeting new people every day. And having that advantage and having such a close community really just helps like the businesses out here flourish, because, you know, businesses need people to spend their money in order for us to stay open. So having that community and support from everybody is a major advantage. Like you know, you can make it in a big city, but do you really know the people that are coming there, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Amazing. And also too, the Berkshires is a huge tourist attraction. So,
right.
Especially coming up in this fall where there's going to be the beautiful foliage, that will attract a lot of new people coming into the area. So have you yet experienced the benefits of tourism with Cravens just from these past few months?
I'd say I've had a few tourists come in, especially with being one of the few spots open past 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the people that come after 9:30, 10 o'clock, they're people out of town that just Google the like ice cream spots that are open. And
yeah,
that's been a bonus.
Definitely. And you did mention E4All, which I wanted to dive into a little bit further, because I have not been in E4All, but I gave like a guest presentation once, and I think it's an amazing organization and program that's available to businesses just like across the country, but especially in all the chapters that they have in Massachusetts. Could you talk a little bit more about what that's been like for your business and how it's really helped you as a business owner? For those who are listening to the show, might be interested in joining E4All themselves.
It was pretty cool. I pitched my dessert delivery service and got selected to present at one of their launch party things that they had. Mm-hmm. It was cool because, you know, you're just in a room full of other people, like-minded individuals that are trying to get a vision across. And then you can just get the feedback of how they present themselves, how they get their 1 minute pitch out and all of that stuff. What is it? I'm a tough person. I can talk for days, right? But only if I'm really comfortable with people. And just being able to be in that situation and being put out of my comfort zone and having to step up, it really like it just opened my eyes to the things that you don't think about. Like,
right.
Like, you know, like you get in front of people, you know what you're talking about. You know that your idea has all this potential, but then this new person is in front of you and now you can't talk. Like, where what's going on. Like, so being able, being forced into that situation and realizing that I need to work on like my public speaking and all that fun stuff. It was a good eye opener, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it sounds like your experience is similar to what my quote in the background says, which is get comfortable with the uncomfortable and being able try new things.
Yeah,
definitely. And one thing too that I want to mention, which I know I kind of talked about a little bit at the beginning, was your article in the Berkshire Eagle. Because a lot of our listeners are interested in PR and being able to leverage their local publications to reach new people. And so was that for you, was that something that happened naturally, or did you do outreach yourself in order to get featured in any of these publications?
No, I was actually at the bar of the restaurant that I was washing dishes at. I had just given them my final notice, and my brother goes to school in the area, so I was waiting for my brother to get out of school, went to grab a drink, and the bartender was just asking me questions about how the process was going. And there happened to be a gentleman that worked for the Eagle sitting next to me, and he was like, oh, my God.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so he and I started chatting, and then when we were getting ready to open up, a gentleman from the Eagle was here, and we chatted for a little bit.
So, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was working towards all of the marketing and all that stuff. I was really going to lean towards social media to promote the business and everything. And then the paper really helped us a lot.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, did you have like a visible uptick in new customers that you noticed just from that article specifically?
Yeah, like the first 2 weeks, we did pretty good. The chart of, like our bottom line was being met for the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But after that article, it was a major, major boost for the first couple weekends from the article. After that, it's been steady, but every week has been a new high for us.
Yeah, that's amazing. From that experience, has it got you thinking about how you might use PR and local press more and with being able to bring awareness to Cravens, or has it kind of changed your perspective on anything along those lines?
No, but it definitely reassured to me that, you know, like the newspaper is definitely a solid place to advertise for anything because that's, you know, so it's not like we're still like digitally heavy in this age, but definitely still worth it to put something in the paper and let people know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another question that I have for you would be for anyone who's looking to, I guess this might be like a two-sided question. Anyone who's either looking to A, get into the food industry as a business owner, or B, actually purchase another business and take over it as their own, is there any specific advice you would give to them? So you can either answer either question first.
Okay. Food industry. I'm honestly, I don't know if I'm the guy. it's just, I know ice cream is easy because it's one of those, like, it's just simple. It's like, you know, you don't really have to think about what you're making with ice cream. It's a sundae. You won't have fudge, caramel, or anything like that. When it comes to like more like in-depth foods and like chefing it up, I wouldn't really know. I can eat, but cooking is a whole nother field for me. And then to answer the second question about purchasing a business that's already operational, it's really about foot traffic and knowing that there is a customer base is probably the best advice I'd have.
And what would you say your favorite local businesses are to support? So it can be any business that you like to frequent or visit or anything like that.
Out in the Berkshires that I go to frequently, I'm a big fan of La Fugata on Tyler Street. It's a Colombian restaurant.
Ooh, sounds good.
Yeah, they serve a lot of dishes that are pretty similar to my family's dishes, so I like to go there. M&M's Tap and Tavern out in New Lebanon is pretty good. They got axe throwing there now. So that's been
that's
pretty fun thing they do out in this area. Where else do I go? I mean, I like to try everywhere at least once. So like for the most part, it's, you can't really miss out here. There's a lot of great restaurants in the Berkshires. BB's Hotspot is one of them. They're pretty good. Smoky Divas is pretty good.
So many different options.
There's a lot of options.
Yeah. And that's one of the best things about the area, just from what I've learned about it. I haven't gone to the Berkshires yet, but from what I've seen just online and from people, and have heard from people who have visited it, that it's really a strong local mom and pop type of deal out there.
I mean, yes, everywhere closes pretty early, so you have to be up and at 'em and get your day going early in the day, but they're all pretty
awesome. Well, Ludwig, this has been such an amazing episode. I'm really excited to be sharing this with our listeners, and I know that they will enjoy listening to it. And I'd love if you could share where our listeners can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further and learn more about you and Cravens.
So they can follow Cravens Ice Cream on Facebook or Instagram, spelled C-R-A-V-I-N-S Ice Cream, for both. And then if you want to get in contact, you can email Elm Street Cravens. So it's E-L-M-S-T Cravens at gmail.com.
Perfect. And I will include those notes in the show notes, so that way, in case anyone missed it, they can click through from there. But thank you so much again for being a guest on today's show.
All right. Thanks for having me, Ashley. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.